Hi, I'm Craig Smith, a former New York Times correspondent and host of the podcast Eye on AI. I'm also a special government employee at the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. And in this role, I'm serving as the host for NSCAI's podcast series on the Commission's work. At the beginning of March this year, the Commission issued its final report to the President and Congress, outlining its recommended strategy for winning in the artificial intelligence era. This week, I speak to NSCAI staff Christy Lawrence and Rama Ellaru about how intellectual property protections play an unexpected role in guiding U.S. innovation and how they contribute to the global competition with China for dominance in AI. I hope you find the conversation as surprising as I did. Why don't we start by having you each introduce yourselves and explain which chapter of the final report you worked on, and then I'll take it from there.
Hi, I'm Christy Lawrence. I'm a director of research and analysis on the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. And today we will be talking about chapter 12, which is on intellectual property.
Hi there, I'm Rama Ellaru. I am on detail from the United States Patent and Trademark Office. I'm here at the Commission, Director of Research and Analysis, working on intellectual property as well as other issues.
Okay. Some people will be surprised to see a chapter on intellectual property in a report on AI in the national security space. But your chapter starts out talking about the challenge of China's increased activity in issuing patents for various parts of the AI stack. And I found that interesting because China has been so lax on intellectual property in the past. And two, why would China's issuance of patents affect U.S. innovation? I thought maybe it would be helpful if you started by explaining kind of the history of where China's been in this, and then why that is important to the U.S.
You are absolutely correct. China's IP systems used to be lax, but in the last couple of decades at least, they have started to improve their IP systems. They realized how important that is through their national security and economic strategy. So they have put a lot of effort into improving their IP systems, strengthening their various, patent systems, court systems, and have encouraged the population, the domestic population there, to file patent applications in China as well as globally. And at the same time, while they are trying to strengthen their IP systems, they have been exploiting other IP systems, and specifically the U.S. intellectual property system, by pervasively stealing and using to their benefit intellectual property rights from the U.S.
There is pervasive intellectual property theft of U.S. intellectual property and other countries' intellectual property by China. So our chapter does outline specific ways in which China has clearly recognized the importance of a strong, robust intellectual property regime, particularly for AI and emerging technologies, in particular, China's national 13th five-year plan for the development of strategic emerging industries articulates IP-related goals. And this strategy doesn't just cover IP, but a whole host of policy recommendations and changes that China wants to undertake in order to lead in these emerging technologies. And the inclusion of intellectual property as a part of this strategy really highlights how important China views intellectual property as part of their overall strategy for tech competitiveness and innovation. And some of the goals that they detail in this five-year plan include revising the patent law and copyright law, strengthening IP rights protections through the creation of rapid rights protection centers, developing strategic advancement plans for IP rights of emerging technologies, And improving overseas IP rights and supporting companies that are involved in overseas M&A or mergers and acquisitions. They've also undertaken some changes such as increasing the provision of preliminary injunctions for patent infringement, increasing damages that they award for IP infringement, particularly if it's willful infringement, and creating specialized IP courts with efficient resolution and low litigation costs. And this really is a recognition that IP rights are critical for innovation and economic prosperity, which is why they've really focused on it.
You talk about the U.S. Patent and Trade Office making it more difficult to issue patents on algorithms and AI systems in the U.S. and the proliferation of patents for those algorithms and systems in China, and how that creates precedent that slows down the USPTO's examination process. Is that the primary way that this hurts U.S. innovation?
Let me clarify that a little bit. So the Supreme Court issued a line of cases starting in 2010 that constricted the types of inventions that were eligible for patent protection. And the Federal Circuit, the Court of Appeals that has subject matter jurisdiction or patent cases, have been applying those line of cases to find that certain issued patents are invalid because they shouldn't have been issued in the first place because they are not eligible for patent protection. So that has really impacted the types of inventions that are entitled to patent protection. But in 2019, the United States Patent and Trademark Office issued guidelines to the examining corps and their other business units to provide certainty for patent eligibility decisions. So they proposed guidance that tells the examiners and the Patent Trial and Appeal Board judges on how to apply the case law. And that went a long way in providing inventors certainty about how these laws would be applied. The problem is that the courts have not adopted the guidance that the USPTO has issued. And they have said they are a different branch and they are going to apply the cases the way they see fit. And while the U.S. is constricting the types of inventions that are eligible for patent protection, China, on the other hand, has liberally applied patent eligibility laws. And that is of concern. They are trying to increase the number of patent applications from China, and they have done so for the first time since the International Patent Cooperation Treaty system was put in place. They have had the most filings in 2019 and 2020, I believe. And also domestically in China, China's Patent Office has had three times as many patent application filings than the USPTO. So they've used that, hey, look, China has the most patent application filings, to shape the narrative that they dominate innovation. So they've used that to say we are leading in these technologies, AI and other technologies. They've used that narrative to attract technology innovation to their borders. And they've also used that narrative to influence developing countries to adopt their technology as the standard.
It's funny, when I listen to this and to a lot of the issues that the U.S. sees with China, my gut is that China's playing a smarter game, that they're just more organized and more aggressive. So what are the recommendations for countering this?
If you read our final report, that is a broader finding, that China has organized itself with the goal of winning the innovation competition. And one of the mechanisms it's using is intellectual property. So that is the part of the China strategy that Chapter 12 focuses on and recognizes that we here domestically don't have comprehensive IP policies to compete on the global front with China's IP strategies. And basically our recommendation is that the United States government needs to recognize intellectual property as a national priority to safeguard U.S. national security interests, including advancing economic prosperity and technology competitiveness. And our recommendation is that the Secretary of Commerce, in coordination with the United States Patent and Trademark Office Director, as well as leaders of other executive branch departments and agencies, propose intellectual property policies and regimes that are elevated to the vice president as either chair of the Technology Competitive Council, which is another one of our recommendations, or as chair of an interagency task force, and that the vice president should assess which policies should be integrated into national security strategies and empower the Secretary of Commerce to facilitate implementation of those proposals.
Some of our listeners may be hearing this discussion and thinking, but why do intellectual property rights actually matter? What are the U.S. IP system's implications for U.S. national interests, such as the economy?
A robust intellectual property regime really has been a part of the backbone of the United States economy since 1790 with the passage of the Patent Act. And the ability of inventors to receive protection in the United States for their products and machines and inventions has spurred innovation for centuries in the United States. You could think back to 1880 with Edison's incandescent light bulb, or 1959, first microchip was patented by Jack Kilby and Robert Noyce in the United States. So IP rights has been linked to innovation, particularly tech innovation in the United States, for quite some time. History has also shown that intellectual property rights are linked with national security, and the United States government has prioritized IP rights and national security considerations. And an interesting example can be seen in the 1940s. So this was in the early days of the United States and other countries' research into nuclear weapons. The United States government was really concerned about how it might ensure control over atomic energy. And in particular, the United States was concerned that private inventors would stake some legal claim to their inventions and research, which could endanger U.S. control over their atomic program, as well as risk the security and welfare of mankind. There were really big concerns there at a macro level. And these fears were amplified by the fact that in the 1940s, French scientists were filing patent applications on nuclear reactors and other related technologies in multiple countries in an attempt to secure global control over those sensitive technologies. So those fears really had some basis. In response, the United States, and sanctioned by President Franklin Roosevelt, established an extensive patent program related to the Manhattan Project. So by 1947 alone, more than 8,500 technical reports had been examined by patent officers, 6,300 technical notebooks had been scrutinized, 5,600 different inventions that covered over 493 categories were examined. And the result by 1947 was that almost 2,100 patent applications were approved for filing and marked as secret within the United States. And the patent rights over these technologies was really viewed as critical by the United States government as important for having control over a field, atomic energy, nuclear weapons, which was obviously critical to national security. This linkage between IP rights for technology, economic competitiveness, and national security was reaffirmed several decades later. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan actually established what was called the Commission on Industrial Competitiveness, which was set up with leaders from business, labor, government, and academia. However, when we looked at IP issues for AI and associated technologies, we found that China was clearly leveraging and exploiting IP policies as a critical tool within their national strategies for emerging technologies, but that the United States IP policy has not been similarly recognized as a national priority for national security, our economic growth, and technology competitiveness.
One IP-related consideration is patent eligibility and its impact on innovation in AI and other associated critical emerging technologies. Can you speak more to this?
So patent eligibility for AI and other inventions has received a lot of attention by IP experts over worries of concerning trends. In the United States, claimed inventions are only granted patent protection if the claimed invention can be categorized as a process, a machine, a manufacturer or composition of matter. Broadly speaking, though, the courts have found that abstract ideas, laws of nature, and natural phenomenon are considered judicial exceptions and therefore not patent eligible. What constitutes an abstract idea, law of nature, or natural phenomenon, therefore, does have widespread implications. In 1980, the Supreme Court made a decision on patent eligible subject matter that spurred explosive growth in the biotech industry. At the time, in the 80s and 70s, there was debate about whether biotech industries were patentable or considered natural law, and therefore would be considered unpatentable. But in Diamond versus Chakrabarty, the Supreme Court found that a genetically modified bacterium is not found anywhere in nature and is therefore patentable under Section 101 of the U.S. Code. The U.S. therefore became the first country to patent genetic modification of living organisms and became the birthplace of biotech revolution that led to advances in medical treatment, cancer research, and many other fields. 1 year later, in 1981, the Supreme Court decided in a separate case that an invented process using a computer program was not automatically considered an abstract idea or an algorithm that precluded patent protection. So this case, the Supreme Court said that a software program in question during this case was assisting in curing rubber was indeed a technological innovation eligible for a patent. So this 1981 decision did also help pave the way for providing reliable patent rights in the United States for the high-tech PC revolution that followed. And what was really important for both of these cases was not just that inventors could receive patent rights that they could enforce and license, but also the confidence. Inventors were certain that the products of their intellectual focus, their time, significant financial investments could be protected by patents under U.S. law. And this provided U.S. inventors with the confidence that their R&D investments could bear economic success and would not be wasted efforts. And lastly, I'll just end with the implications of patent eligibility, as we discussed in our report, can be seen in investment trends. So although venture capital funding has increased over the past decade, there has been a substantial shift in the distribution of these macro level amounts away from patent intensive sectors of the economy, such as medical devices, and towards non-intellectual property intensive sectors like hotels, entertainment, and other service industries. And surveys have confirmed that executives at companies do pay attention to changes in patent law and take into account diminished patent protections, such as in Section 101, in making their R&D investment decisions. So taken all together, the importance of AI and associated technologies to our national security, economic, and tech competitiveness interests, the impact of patent eligibility on the innovation of these technologies needs to be examined. That we don't take a position. We simply say that the United States government should examine this and determine if there are any policy changes or legislative changes that need to be made.
What are some of the other concerning IP-related considerations?
So in addition to patent eligibility, Chapter 12 details 9 other IP-related considerations and trends that we believe the United States government should prioritize. One interesting question unique to AI concerns inventorship. In 2018 and 2019, patent applications were filed in the United States and many other jurisdictions for 2 inventions, an invention related to a flashlight and a food container. However, these patent applications identified what's called the Device for Autonomous Bootstrapping of Unified Sentience, or DABIS, as the inventor. So the question was, could a patent be filed and granted with DABIS as the named inventor? In February 2020, the USPTO denied these applications, stating that under current legal doctrine, an inventor must be a natural person or human. In other patent offices right now, AI and particularly machine learning are capable of narrow tasks, but the commission recommends that research towards more general AI, AI that has more human-like capabilities generally, or along one or more dimensions of skills. And so as AI evolves in this direction, the question of whether AI can create and be an inventor will be more critical to innovation and something that the United States and other countries will need to determine what their policy will be on AI inventorship. Some other IP-related considerations that we look at are whether or not there are sufficient protections and incentives for building big data sets. It's really well known that data is critical for innovation in AI and machine learning, as data underlines the algorithms. And similarly to investments in research and development, companies and researchers must invest time and resources in the cultivation of such data sets. However, there are gaps in protection of data in the United States. And the United States, we believe, will need to determine whether copyright protections are adequate or if different protections, such as sui generis protections or IP-related protections, are necessary to incentivize the necessary investments into data sets. The other areas that we look at include China's pervasive IP theft by China through multiple means, standard essential patent processes, and countering a narrative that China is advancing that they're winning AI innovation. Another consideration that we look at is global IP alignment. And this really includes a lot of different issues and topics, and will be really quite dependent on other policies that the United States may adopt. But essentially, it's going to be very important for the United States to work with its allies and partners, potentially through existing forums like WIPO or others, to facilitate agreement on some of these considerations like AI inventorship, like data protections. The United States already works with other countries on IP enforcement. However, if there are new policies that are adopted, if there are new challenges that arise that are unique to AI and emerging technologies, it will be important for the United States to work with its allies and partners to ensure there's global enforcement of IP rights and to really address some of these challenges that may be more forward-leaning or may be challenges for today. And lastly, the United States does already work with countries, particularly developing countries, to help provide trainings around creating and building and enforcing a very robust patent regime or IP regime. And it will be important for the United States to continue to do this, particularly as there are other actors in other countries that might be increasing their involvement with other countries. It will be critical for the United States to not only continue its engagement with other countries, but further its engagement with other countries. And we also recommend that Congress should prioritize any needed IP-related legislation. Lastly, we recommend that the Secretary of Commerce with the USPTO director should submit two reports to the Vice President. And one of those reports we recommend should look at the non-exhaustive list of 10 IP considerations that we detail in our blueprint for action. But those 10 IP-related considerations, like patent eligibility, like data protections, really is non-exhaustive. And we expect that the Secretary of Commerce and USPTO Director and all of the stakeholders that will be a part of this interagency task force will likely need to look at even more IP-related topics as it pertains to AI and emerging technologies.
That's it for this week's podcast. I want to thank Rama and Christy for their time. I encourage everyone who cares about the future of our world to read the National Security Commission on AI report, which can be found at www.nscai.gov. Regardless of how you feel about military uses of AI, it's critical that people involved in the field understand what the government is doing. The singularity may not be near, but AI is changing your world, so pay attention.